What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast. It's Monday. This apparently is our time to record a show. We had a meeting. A virtual meeting a week ago where we all decided that we were going to record at this time, which is 10:30 UK time, 4:30 America time. But only three of us have shown up on the first time that we've done it. So well done for the two of you that are here. So joining me this week is Wesley Coleman. Wesley, how are you?
Doing good. I was here on time, along with both of y'all. And, I'm disappointed. I'm not mad. I am disappointed.
We're all disappointed. We're all disappointed. Also joining me tonight is Jason. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Just got home from work. I guess I learned not to be quite as disappointed. I guess I'm used to it at this point. When Jeff just goes silent, I know not to expect it. But it is kind of funny since this is the first one after our official meeting, and this is what we got three. So
we're at a 50% strike rate. But let's put it this way: it's the good 50%, right?
Exactly.
True. This might end up being the best 20-minute show we've ever done.
Best 20-minute show ever. And on that note, we'll start kind of rattling through the things that that we're going to talk about. I think probably the best place to start is obviously minicamp is now finished. And positively, I think, every single player turned up for minicamp. Obviously, certain players are not quite fit and have got body parts missing and things like that, but you know, definitely a positive that every single member of the roster was there in their various states of health.
Huge news.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, like to see it.
Even have Michael Thomas standing on the sideline in a Michael Thomas jersey, which I think was probably a way he wanted to let people know this, that he was there. He didn't just show up wearing any kind of Saints t-shirt. He was in a Michael Thomas jersey.
In case people forgot what he looks like.
And I think he saw a couple of decent catches by some of his teammates right there in front of him too. So pretty cool to see him on the sidelines being a part of the team.
Is it not a bit of a concern though that he still might not be ready for training camp if you listen to what Dennis Allen was saying? Or are you not so concerned about that because we're still 2.5 months away from any meaningful football?
I mean, I think it is a little concerning because I know we've all kind of been like, well, as long as he's healthy for the regular season, he'll be fine. He's Michael Thomas, but he doesn't have a ton of work with Jameis. You know, he's got to get his timing down with Jameis because, I mean, even last year when he was practicing in training camp, he was splitting time with Taysom and Jameis. So he had a lot of work with Taysom. And then even before that, it was Drew. So he doesn't have a lot of work with Jameis, and they're really going to have to get on the same page. And, you know, you're kind of at least Landry and Olave are able to get to timing down with him now, but we're going to need Thomas to be able to work with him. So, I mean, he's going to have to be able to practice in training camp.
I'd say my concerns are nil or very minimal. A couple things. And so I agree with what you're saying on the surface, Jason, but then I talk about whenever Drew got injured and Teddy Bridgewater stepped in. Teddy Bridgewater had thrown very few passes in his life to Michael Thomas before the game, and they did quite well together. Same with Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill hasn't been the number one quarterback very often, throwing many passes to Michael Thomas, and they did quite well together. I think that I'd like to see them practicing together, but also don't have too much concern. I'd say that even if he was 100% healthy right now, we probably wouldn't see him or Alvin Kamara play a single snap in a preseason game. So I don't want to freak out about it too much. I really want him healthy for our week of practices with the Packers, which is kind of towards the end of halfway through preseason. So if we can work him back to where he can actually be a part of those practices, again, with Jameis and against real NFL players that aren't his teammates, I'd really like to see that. That's kind of my, if he's not doing those, I'm like, okay, he's still dealing with something. I think the rest of it could be purposely slowing him down though, to just make sure he's there for the season.
Yeah. At this point with our wide receiver room that we have now and a certain free agent acquisition who is putting on a bit of a show in training camp, apparently. Is Michael Thomas on number one?
Yes.
Yes.
I
don't think he leads the team in yardage, and he may not lead it in receptions. But yeah, he's and even after that happens this season, he's still our number one.
Okay. I don't disagree, but it's just interesting that, you know, every single report or every single podcast you've listened to of people that were actually at the practices just say that Jarvis Landry looks the real deal and seems to have a real connection with Jameis Winston already, which is absolutely brilliant. You know, you get to the season and you've got Thomas, Olave, Jarvis Landry and Alvin Kamara on the field. One of them four is getting open. They can't cover them all.
You wouldn't think. And then you know, we're going to unleash Kroll on everybody. And then how do you stop that?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's sleeping on, and I get it, the excuses that national media have, and I mean, we'll say Buccaneers fans or reporters will also have against the Saints. So at one point in his career, Jameis Winston did throw 30 interceptions in a season. So everybody's relying on that. Well, you know, he can't do it, no matter who his receiver is. And then it's insane to me that people are forgetting that Michael Thomas 2 years ago wasn't just a good receiver. He didn't just do some good things. He had the greatest first four years of a career ever by a wide receiver. And he was the offensive player of the year for the Saints, for the entire NFL. It's pretty ridiculous. And so he's just not a guy. I mean, he's a hard worker, and I just don't see how he's not coming back. I mean, even if he's 90% of what he was, you put those three together and then add Kamara to it. Like, it's a pretty dynamic offense at the top.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about Michael Thomas there and say that, you know, that season he had, you know, the breaking the record and the offensive player of the year. Cooper Kupp's been lauded this year. He had one extra game and still didn't match.
Right.
And still didn't match that catches record. He's two or three short, wasn't he? He's kind of irrelevant, really. But he's with an extra game, he still didn't do it. Some more stuff to come out of minicamp was that we've got two players that are looking for new deals. I think there's a bit more information on the Deonte Harty contract, where they say that there is a real kind of gap between what the Saints are willing to pay and what he wants. I haven't necessarily heard that with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, unless you can correct me. I've not, that there's figures being involved, but it seems as though both of them do want to be paid. But the good thing is they've showed up, and neither of them are holding out. I was convinced that one of them would end up holding out. It doesn't look as though that's going to be the case.
Well, the funny thing about that is, yes, we're getting, I think, hearing that Harty wants to sign a deal with the Saints and doesn't like their offer or something like that. And maybe we haven't heard that about CJGJ, but it makes sense that, I mean, we know he considers himself to be the best slot cornerback in football or right up there. And at least with him, if he just came out and said, this, I want to get paid like a top cornerback because I think I perform like one. I mean, I don't want to pay him like that. I don't want to pay him $20 million a year, but I could understand him saying it. Deonte Harty, whatever he's basing his worth on, I guess we haven't had exact rumors of what he's asking for, but if it's even $10 million a year, which we've got okay receivers getting 18 and 20 million right now, he's, I don't know what world he's living in. I mean, his greatest successes in football have been as a punt returner and kick returner. And last year he wasn't great at those, and he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I don't know if in his mind he watches what Tyreek Hill does and goes, oh, I could do that. And I'm not a Tyreek Hill fan. And just because him and Tyreek Hill could run the same speed doesn't mean he can do the things that Tyreek Hill has done. And so if he's just sitting there saying like, oh, well, I'm sort of like Tyreek Hill, so pay me 20 instead of 30 million a year. I hope that's not what's going on. I mean, I hope the great gap is $4 and $6 million.
I mean, I just kind of think he sees a lot of these mediocre receivers getting 10, 12, 15, even up to $20 million. And he's like, well, I'm not that much worse than these guys. I mean, that's the only, you know, when Christian Kirk's getting $20 million, it's like, I wouldn't even pay Hardy $10 million.
I wouldn't sniff.
But I got to think that's, he's like, I got to think that's what he's thinking. But again, yeah, he had a couple of long passes that he caught, but he's missed games every single season. So you can't rely on that. You can't pay him $10 million and think you're going to be able to rely on this guy for a full season. You just can't.
Well, and to be fair, he has 62 receptions in his career. I mean, his 3 years is 6 receptions, 20 receptions, and 36 receptions. And I mean, and again, last year puts together a decent season with 570 yards receiving, but still only 3 touchdowns. We'll see how he's used this year, but I also think he's got to be nervous that he's not going to come in here and be our fourth receiver or maybe fifth receiver this year, and this be the year he's able to shine and earn that big contract, because he's not supplanting the top 3 guys on this team.
No, he's definitely not going to get a lot of volume this year.
I'm not sure he's going to go ahead of Callaway and Traquan Smith either.
Well, I think Callaway,
in terms of snaps.
I think Callaway and Smith are fighting for the fourth, and I think Hardy's going to be fifth in the team in snaps. He should probably be third on the team in yardage if he can, you know, take advantage of Jameis's arm, and him and Olave both stretching out defenses going for long balls. I just don't know how to see that. And I mean, and we also got to figure out too, like what the Saints, I mean, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I mean, is, and Jason will attest to this, like when you're at the games, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson keeps the defense going and the crowd going all the time. Having said that, like his partner in crime with that last year was Quan Alexander, and we haven't even offered Quan Alexander a veteran minimum to just come and be a cheerleader yet. So, I mean, who knows if that changes, but I mean, we'll see how much the team actually values what he's doing there with the intangibles. And then, you know, one thing I said a few months ago is I definitely wanted Tyrann Mathieu here. I was really excited about him, and I still am. Him and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, neither one play their role in the way that you would write it down and coach somebody to do it. They both work on a lot of instinct. And it, one thing I said a few months ago is that it scared me to have two guys always playing on defense that both can go rogue. And I'm using rogue in a not so detrimental form. I mean, they sometimes that's a great thing when they call their own blitz and they make an interception or they pull off something. They make some great plays. It's also two guys that, I mean, do their own thing sometimes. It's not necessarily the way the coach drew it up. So, and I don't know if the Saints are going to, how that's going to work with two guys doing that versus one. And, you know, we got away with that for a few years with Marcus Williams kind of always being in the right place.
I'd say I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
It's more complicated this year. And we could have people out of place. Now, I think we'll have more turnovers, but it also scares me that we could have more deep balls.
I would feel a lot more comfortable if Marcus Williams was still playing as that deep free safety, because that's not Marcus May either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really pumped about the fun that we're going to have confusing quarterbacks and messing around with people with, I mean, them not knowing where May, Mathieu, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and maybe even somebody like Bryce Thompson. You get all four of those on the field at one time. All of them can play cornerback, and all of them can play both safety positions. And it's a weird thing. Like, you're not going to be able to read that defense. It's also scary because what if they miscommunication or something goes awry and nobody's covering the guy running down the middle of the field?
Yeah, there's going to be some good players that don't make the 53 in that backfield, isn't there? There's going to be some good players, which if you go back to the Brandon Browner days.
Do we have to?
No, we don't have to. I suppose the other news to come out of minicamp in terms of players was Marcus Davenport.
He's in mid-season form. I mean, Marcus Davenport, it's May. I mean, he's already acting like it's October. He's ready for the bye week. I mean, yeah, injured, not practicing. Apparently had a finger amputated. Is that, I mean, Yeah, it's tip a pinky of his... that he's had three surgeries on, and finally they just gave up and cut the half of it off or something. I don't.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And wait, and he has a shoulder injury from the same shoulder that he's had operated on a couple times. So, I don't know.
He's made a glass. Now, to me, having him fit is probably one of the most important pieces on that defense, really, because when him and Cam play together, I mean, look, Cam, look how Cam ended the season when Davenport came back in. Davenport ended up with 9 sacks from 11 games. When he's fit, he produces, but that's the problem. He can't stay fit.
So I want to be, this is one of the most crazy things ever, but there is a real scenario that 12 months from now, just as likely, that Marcus Davenport's playing for, whether it's the Saints or any team in the NFL, on a $3.5-4 million deal. There's also a scenario where he's playing on a like 3-year, $75 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he stays, and whatever Trey Hendrickson did, Marcus Davenport can easily eclipse this next season. Yeah. If he somehow stays healthy and plays 17 games, you can't convince me it's crazy to think that Marcus Davenport would have 15 sacks if he played 17 games. Like, that's not insane. And have an incredible highlight reel and sign, I mean, seriously, over $20 million a year. Now, he's going to have some things to make that. I'm not saying $75 million guaranteed, but he'd have some playing incentives. But he could sign a massive deal, or he could be on a, you know, above that minimum, but $4-6 million deal. Like,
prove it.
Because you only played 2 or 3 games. And neither one would shock me at all. Obviously, best case scenario for us is, I mean, our best case scenario is he has the massive year and it's somebody else signing him to a 4-year, $80 million deal. I don't see how it works out here unless he's injured a lot, which doesn't help us this year.
If he has a good season, I don't think with the Saints and their cap situation, they can take the gamble of paying him what he's going to get on the market to keep him on the chance that he stays fit, because in the 4 years that he's played for us, he's not been able to.
Well, I'm not saying it's a wise decision, but if he goes out and has a monster year, I mean, I could see them keeping him and cutting Cam. I mean, you know, at this point, an aging Cam, as much as I wouldn't want to see it. That could be.
I don't think Cam is cuttable, like the way his contract is.
Even after this season, I mean,
no, because we just restructured him again.
We did.
Yes, we did. We did every single restructure we possibly could, so that we could clear the $30-something million for Deshaun Watson. We had no more restructures to do. We had people we could have cut, like little things like that, but we restructured every single one of those deals.
Well, you know, if you win the Super Bowl, fuck it.
Yeah, I think that Cam Jordan is here through the end of his contract, no matter what. I mean, obviously the hope is that he catches COVID around week 6 and comes super Cam again for the last 10 or 12
maybe he'll go catch COVID over in London.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
As long as he gets it after the London game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
James will give it to him.
Yeah.
And obviously it's May it's June. We've got a few months till the season starts. Again, I don't want to sit there and say the Michael Thomas stuff of, oh, well, they're just keeping him safe and I feel good about it and I don't care that he's not practicing, and then kind of be mad about Davenport. I mean, those are two different situations to me. And we just, I hope that we see some Davenport and Turner. I mean, everybody keeps talking about it, but the Saints could be getting, you know, a lot of first round draft picks, Penning, Olave. I mean, Michael Thomas could come back. Then you add Peyton Turner, who hasn't gotten a chance to do anything for us. Marcus Davenport could come in and be healthy. Not to forget the first round pick Taco Charlton is now a New Orleans Saint. So there's all kinds of first rounders and all pros that could be starting for the Saints here in a few months.
Ooh. Super Bowl.
To every time we're talking, it gets close to the season. I'm talking myself into like 15-2 and
right
setting fire to the league.
I mean, just wait until we get to our bowl prediction, sure to go wrong, and you're like, yeah, we're just gonna go undefeated. I mean,
someone's gonna say it. So I think it's time to talk helmets. And I don't mean those of the purple variety. Let's go. What are our thoughts on the alternate black helmet that was announced and released last week?
Well, they're finally doing the black helmet. I've been wanting them to wear the black helmet for a while. I just think it looks, you know, it looks really, you know, before seeing any kind of design that they came up with, I'm like, a black helmet would look really good with this uniform. So I'm happy to see it.
Yeah, we've been talking about black helmets for a long time and seen all kinds of different ones mocked, I guess, every offseason. It's not the one that I would have put out there, but it's way better than a lot of them that I've seen. I've seen some pretty ugly black helmets over the years that were put on weird Saints uniforms. My biggest thing that's strange to me is I don't mind the helmet. I like it. I like it especially up close when I can tell that the fleur-de-lis are the stripe is fleur-de-lis versus polka dots or whatever. I thought it was weird the way they paired it, because Cam Jordan was wearing it with the Color Rush, where they take the Color Rush is one of the best uniforms in football to me. But then they take away the awesome white socks of the Color Rush, throw black socks on it, and then put the black helmet. I would have rather seen the black helmet in an all black, or maybe with some khaki pants. I don't know. I mean, is that even an option anymore? Can we find some Color Rush khaki pants that the Saints would want to wear?
See, I'm disappointed they haven't gone down the gold jersey route as well.
With a Louisiana patch on the sleeve?
Yeah.
Oh, you really like those gold? I hated those gold jerseys.
Did you? I thought they looked all right.
Like, now I wouldn't mind seeing the black helmet with like the old retro uniforms, like the mustard. Like, I like when I feel like they haven't worn those uniforms in a while. I think the black helmet would have looked good with those uniforms, the black jersey and the mustard pants.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a feeling that we're going to see the Color Rush jerseys and the alternate helmet in London. I really feel that's where they're going to play it.
Just so what everybody does these days with weird jerseys, and the NBA has been killing me for the last couple of years with their whatever they call their alternate
city jersey. Edition.
They're all disgusting. I'll just say that I thought the helmet was going to be worse than whatever we were going to come up with in 2022. So my expectations were pretty low. So I actually am not. I don't hate the helmet. I've got some friends that definitely hate the helmet and aren't a big fan of it. But I think they could have done way worse. I question the way it's paired with the white Color Rush and black socks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you. I like the helmet. The line down the middle with the fleur-de-lis. I'm not sure that was the right way to go. But like I said, now you know it's fleur-de-lis and it isn't like, you know, dots. I think it looks okay. People have been asking for it for a while, and from a tweet that Jeff Duncan put out, he said it was actually Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis that designed that helmet.
I don't believe that.
Did they not have enough to worry about last year with all these injuries and, you know, trying to get into the playoffs? Let's just spend an hour designing a helmet.
Well, Peyton was checked out. So he's like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just work on the helmet for a while.
Did he leave because he was stressed about the release of the helmet? Maybe he left because he wanted it paired with black jersey and Loomis insisted that it ruin the Color Rush jersey.
I'm sure there'll be a book about it eventually. I'm sure there will. Right. Well, the last thing I have now is London. Tickets for current UK Tottenham Hotspur Stadium season ticket holders went on sale, where people could renew their season tickets today. So I can very happily say that I have my ticket reserved, so I will be in the stadium. It wasn't cheap, it was over £100, but I would be happy to pay more than that to go and see a Saints game in London, if I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think you guys are going to have an opportunity to get tickets next week, week after.
Hopefully,
possibly.
I don't know.
Like in 2 days.
I haven't heard anything from the Saints. No emails or anything. So I'm going to call Courtney tomorrow and see if he's heard anything. But I mean, I will say, I mean, shit, we paid $150 for ours in Nashville. So £100 over there, it's not too bad.
Your tickets were Nashville, $150 each.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Once all the fees were included in there. Yeah.
That was close to that.
Wow. Yeah. And you were sat high
and
up.
We,
right?
And we bought them. We bought them directly from the Titans.
From the Titans. Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Mind saying that when you do the conversion, mind, what I paid for it is about $160. So it'll be about the same. But yeah, so, you know, obviously for you guys, you're coming anyway, aren't you? You've already sorted out. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm not stopping now. I'm not coming now.
Yeah. I'm not spending like $7,000 on the trip and then griping about my $200 football
no,
ticket.
No.
That's the part of the trip I'm okay with spending some money.
Yeah, on. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's kind of the reason why you're coming over to Europe, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Some would say.
So yeah, so you know, fingers crossed that you managed to get yourself your tickets. But that's all I have. Does anybody else have anything they want to talk about before we wrap this up?
I'll go ahead and do my final thought, I guess. It's not Saints related, but the NBA draft is Thursday night, so that's going to be exciting. Pelicans have the 8th pick. There's rumors about potential trade backs, or a lot of people are talking about who they should draft. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about a bunch of these guys, so I'm not going to get my hopes up thinking, oh, well, this is the guy I want. And if we don't get him, then I'm going to be upset. So I'm just kind of going in a little blind. I mean, I know the top 3 picks are going to be Chet and Jabari Smith and Paolo Banchero, but everybody else is kind of open. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out and if the Pelicans do stay there at 8 and who they grab and if there's any other kind of movements, trades. So I'm kind of excited to not know a bunch about it and just hope you know they come anywhere near the success rate as last year's draft provided. You know, they're a really great position. I'd like to thank the Lakers for trading away their picks, including some more picks we're going to have in the future. So, I'm really looking forward to it. Really excited.
So, I mean, you know, just from your opinion, you know, obviously being a Pelican season ticket holder, you know, everything's looking good for Zion to be playing when the season starts. All right, shush you over there. What do the Pelicans need?
They need shooting. They still don't have the best shooting, so they can always, you know, they were, I think, in the bottom 5 in the league in 3-point shooting last year. So that's really their need. I mean, they've got a lot of length. They got a lot of, you know, defenders. Maybe some, you know, either shooting or maybe shot creation. I mean, really, when you think about it, if, you know, as good as they were last year, and maybe this will help the shooting too, is having Zion down low attract so much attention. There should be a lot more wide open looks for 3 this year. So find a guy who can knock down that shot. Because
have you been watching Ogbaji at all from Kansas?
No.
That dude would be awesome for the Pelicans. I mean, like he is incredible. And I mean, he's the real deal as a shooting guard that would be fantastic there.
So, but yeah, no, Zion looks good to go. I know there's talks about the extension. I mean, they're going to offer him the max 5 for $180. And I don't know what kind of possible playing time or injury protections they're going to do, but I don't think they're going to want this any kind of negotiating lingering. So I just think he's going to get offered it because if we don't, somebody else will.
Yeah, he's got to.
So
do you think he'll get the same kind of deal that Joel Embiid got the first time he got to?
I guess it depends if he's willing to take it. If he's not, I don't think we're going to mess around and try to hurt any of the chemistry that we built with the rest of the roster last year. I don't think they want to interrupt that. I think they see a clear progression forward, and I would hope they don't want any kind of lingering contract dispute or anything like that to go over the team with all the good vibes that have come from last year.
Has New Orleans ever negotiated poorly and caused a player to force their way out by like sitting out of games and refusing to play? Or, I mean, has that ever happened?
I mean, there was one guy who did it, but he was under contract. It wasn't a negotiation. He was already, yeah. They already gave him max.
I was kidding. I thought they'd had it happen a couple of times in very dramatic fashion. That is the one thing that got the national media to cover the New Orleans Pelicans.
I mean, that's it, right? That's it. And everybody keeps throwing that in our face. Like, oh yeah, Chris left, AD left. Well, yep. When Chris left, we had the poorest owner in the league. We had the worst situation and it was time. With Davis, I mean, it was clutch and LeBron. Like there's nothing you could, like he was just,
yep.
And that's when, you know what? I'm glad he's gone. Cause
oh, everybody needs to be happy. He's gone. Yeah.
Cause he's not a goddamn leader. He's a great player, but if he's your top guy in your team, you're not winning a championship. You're just not. In addition to the fact that he's going to miss 30 games a year, he doesn't have that killer instinct.
Or with a broken toenail.
Right. Or, you know, he does crawfish boils with Sonny D in it. I mean, you know, we're a freaking idiot.
Minor Saints related, just two things. I'm glad to see Will Lutz back kicking. I think reports are that he looked like it was his first time kicking in a while. So let's hope that we've got plenty of time to work out the kinks there. But good to see him. And honestly, even if he's kicking terrible, we would have won two more games last year with him on the team kicking terrible. And even throughout all the injuries, we'd have been an 11-win team. And then other things.
And we'd have been in the playoffs with the Trevor Siemian-led team.
Yes. Yep.
Other thing, and obviously there's a lot that we're going to figure out with Alvin Kamara, and we assume that he's going to miss three or four games of the season. But seeing him get back out on the field last week, every single year I do this. I mean, we know that Alvin Kamara is great. And then every year, whenever training camp starts or mini camp starts, you just realize that dude is a freaking alien. the way he catches the ball and the way he moves, it's crazy how you can forget in a few months that he looks like he's not trying, but he's so fast and he's so agile and he just makes, these are the greatest athletes on the planet as far as getting their body to come in contact with another person. And he just makes them all look stupid. we have a great defense and he just makes people look silly. It's so cool to watch him play football, and it's crazy that he got drafted where he did. And even you go back and look at the new contracts, the contract that he has is absolutely ridiculous for what he is able to do. If we can keep him healthy and get Jameis throwing to him. Remember Jameis last full game with him, he threw 10 passes to him. After, yep. I think all of us sit there and go like, oh, well, you know, Jameis doesn't have a good connection with Alvin. You know what? He got griped at for that. And the last time they played together, he threw 10 passes to him in Seattle. So if he's going to lean into him this year, we could see something pretty, pretty special. But just any time that Alvin Kamara is on a football field, I'm serious, I call the guy an alien. He's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's keeping me hopeful that, you know, the NFL want their best players to play in the international games. That's week four. I'll be surprised if Kamara is suspended for that trip over, because, you know, it ruins the product for the international audience. Mm-hmm. And I'll be devastated because, like you said, he's an alien.
Crazy.
Okay, we done?
I think that's it.
Okay, so that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, look for Dome Patrol Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Do I have to say this bit? You can follow us on TikTok.
Oh, God.
Dome Patrol Pro Z. Pro Z? Pro Z? I don't know. TikTok. What is it? Somebody explain it to me. I don't know.
Not on TikTok.
No,
it's
nor
an
me.
Updated version of Vine.
Is it? Right, okay, so rubbish then. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. But anyway, if you want to follow us on there, Dome Patrol Pro Z, Z, whichever way you pronounce it. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, minicamp donkeys.
See y'all in July.
Then 6 o'clock rolls around. You just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime, hang out, it looks like a car show.
Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop or fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.